from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and Alec Medford is with us today. I would expect to potentially see a lot more of him going forward.
Really? Got rid of another one, huh? It's amazing how long I've lasted in multiple ways.
Man, that is for damn sure.
I want to know what's the other way.
What do you mean, Mike, by that?
That's behind the doors.
Which behind doors? Closed doors.
Of his house. They could be open at times.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So this is going to be an interesting show already.
Do you always lock the door? Do you always just make sure?
No. Probably should, though.
Lock your house door?
Your bedroom door.
Doesn't have a lock.
Oh, you don't have a lock on it.
Nope.
How do you keep the kids out whenever you're trying to have that time?
Just hope for the best.
There you go. All right.
It's a house built in 1910. There weren't locks on doors.
You can replace the locks on there. Replace a doorknob. It's super easy.
I live in Oak Cliff.
They have doorknobs and locks in Oak Cliff. I'm guaranteed there's a Home Depot or Ace Hardware around somewhere.
There is a Home Depot.
There you go. Or an Elliott's. You can go to a hardware store. You'll be all right.
All right. I'll think about it.
Or your kids are old enough now to know better, you know? Kevin, that being said, Noah's just going to stroll in one day. You can lock in the door or not.
I feel like he'll learn a valuable lesson that day.
What will that be?
Don't walk in the door without knocking.
Knock on the door, and if you see something you didn't like,
exactly,
leave the door shut.
All right, we have a couple of options right here. Do you want to go with maybe how you should move sports viewership to the afternoon a little bit more, mostly in the weekend, but potentially on the weekday? Or do you want to dive right into the NFL and the best players in football 25 and under?
I feel like you're excited about moving sports to the midday.
I am excited about
that. So we can watch sports during the middle of the day? Is that what you're wanting to do? Because I'm down with that.
I mean, that is true. But I wanted to point out a couple of different things. You had a huge audience for the Olympics. 30.6 million viewers in the U.S. per day across NBC. That's 82% higher than the Tokyo Games and the highest viewership since 2012 for the Olympics. And so a lot of that took place during the day and even during the day on weekdays. And I thought about this a lot more. I realize we'll get to, you know, you look back at the pandemic in 2020 and that changed a lot of things. But even before that, I feel like people's work kind of schedules were shifting more and more. And then once you hit 2020 and then into 2021, and it's carried through for a lot of people, a lot more people work at home or have like a, you're not traditional 9-to-5 work schedule. And so sometimes I think maybe sports are missing out by only programming for prime time.
I'm 100% with you on this for weekends.
Okay.
I think we'll see on getaway days. Now, the Rangers have a weird getaway day today as they're playing at 6 p.m. in Boston, 5 p.m. here on 105.3 The Fan, pregame at 4:30. Is I think you'll see the attendance at the stadium for weekday games be 20 to 40% less than a weekday night game, weeknight game.
Yeah.
But I think during the weekend, I do think you should do this more. I think the tough thing is we're talking about special events, and I'll go to the special event in my life, which would be the World Series. The tough thing is that is happening during college football and NFL football.
True.
So it does get tough on a Saturday or a Sunday to schedule a 4 p.m. Eastern first pitch for the World Series, or do you think that you'd be just fine with that?
Okay, and I actually think 4 to 5 p.m. might be the perfect start time because traditionally you've seen 2:30 is the big game, like on a week-to-week basis. I know that can change, and Fox and CBS...
Oh, okay, for baseball, yes, got you.
And Fox and CBS, for college football.
Oh, thank you, okay.
Yeah, for college football, okay. I'm sorry. And you've seen a push to kind of make, sometimes you get 11 o'clock in the morning is like the big game of
the
weekend.
For the Cotton Bowl game.
Yes, but you see a lot of times 2:30 is like one of the marquee games, and there's probably another marquee one in primetime, which means you have a window, and I know there will be some crossover, but you might potentially have a window for that 5 o'clock World Series game where it's like, hey, I might miss the very beginning unless this game is kind of over, or hey, I might miss the beginning of this college football primetime, but it's the freaking World Series. And so I wanted to start there as an idea because I'm really intrigued by that. But you mentioned the weekends, so there are a few more things I wanted to dive in about this. United States, France, Olympic gold medal game, 19.5 million people. Weekend took place at 2:30. You look back at the South Carolina, Iowa women's national championship basketball game. That happened at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And what was the highest rated men's college basketball game this year?
Was it Final Four Saturday?
You would assume either Final Four Saturday or the finals, right? No.
Monday night, I think it's a little bit tough.
The first round of the NCAA tournament.
It was actually the Elite Eight between NC State and Duke. And I know Duke will draw some viewership, but the point is it was on 4 p.m. on Easter. And so another thing that you found is these holidays are good for viewing. So because a lot of people do stuff with their family, they stay at the house, and people are viewing.
I'm with you.
The highest rated game of the NCAA tournament for the men's was on a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
I like your thinking here, especially when it comes to basketball. If the Mavericks and Celtics in the NBA Finals, when they played on Saturday or Sunday, if it would have been a 4 o'clock tip off East Coast time, I think people would have really loved that because they're like, this game is going to get over at 7, and then when that's over, we can go out and celebrate. We can just go out to dinner if we want to get out of the house. Like, I think there's a lot to this that they're just thinking, well, we have to put it in prime time. That's where this is the thing that I don't know. Will advertisers go, I want, if I'm paying for NBA Finals advertising, it has to be prime time television, because maybe in their brains advertising get seen the most at nighttime, but you would have to present this to them of like, look, I'm telling you, your Coca-Cola commercial or Pepsi commercial or whatever, it's going to get great viewership at 4 p.m. Eastern time in the afternoon for this big event.
What's the news going to do, though, Kevin? The news is around that time.
Like the network news?
Yeah, they always do the news around that time. It's your afternoon news.
You know what, Corey? I will admit I did not factor in how this affects the network news.
Mm-hmm.
So I will go back.
I'll go back to the
drawing board and look into
It's going to kill the news.
I will give you one thing also that could affect baseball in afternoon starts, and that's the shadows. Now, that being said, they play the first round of the playoffs. There's two games at least, being played in the daytime. One will usually start at 1 p.m. The next one might start at 3 or 4 p.m. because they're jamming in four games in one day. So you're dealing with shadows either late in the 1 p.m. game or somewhat the beginning or the middle part of the 4 p.m. start of a baseball game. But that's been going on in the history of baseball. It does make it more difficult to hit, but that's the only thing that maybe teams would be like, gosh, we hate dealing with the shadows, the hitting part of it.
I think that's a fair point. And I see some people on the Frankel injury attorney text line are focusing in on the Olympic part about it. And I don't want it to focus just on that. It goes beyond that. Like I said, take a look at the NCAA tournament as well. Take a look at the NFL. Viewership is far higher for that 325 game than it is at noon. And sometimes those 325...
That's wild to me.
Yeah.
Because growing up, it was the noon game.
Absolutely. But and sometimes those 325 games can eclipse the Monday night or Thursday night football game. And again, to your point, it is hot, it is weekend afternoon. But then I also saw this poll and I was kind of interested because I think you can meet somewhere in the middle. This is from Sports Media Watch. What is the ideal time to have sports on? Now I'm going to convert this all to central time. So, you know, everyone can consider where they live. Hopefully a lot of people live in the central time zone that are listening to this. 7 to 10 got 36%, but 3 to 7 got 47%. So I feel like there's a happy medium in there. For example, Michael Jordan's first NBA Finals game. It was on a Sunday at 2:30. Not every Finals game has to be at 7 or 8 o'clock. What if you even said, we're going to start this Finals game at 4:30 or 5? And I just saw someone on the YouTube was like, man, I would love to see a playoff game start at 4 instead of 8. And maybe that's too far. You know, like you talked about advertisers or people getting off your more traditional work schedule on the week. Maybe that's too far, but I think there's a compromise to be there where you can be like, what about 6 o'clock?
I love what you're talking about for weekends.
Okay.
For weekends. Yeah. That you move them to mid-afternoon games for these big events. I think there's
something there for
sure. I think for weekday games, you'll just have pushback, and then you'd have to really talk to maybe your season ticket holders and say, hey, do you think if we started some games at 4 p.m.
Sure.
Central time, and they might say, I don't get off work till 4 p.m. Yeah. or 5 o'clock, and I've bought this whole 82-game package or 41-game package from hockey or basketball, and
I got to get my kids from school.
I work so I can afford these tickets type of deal. Or, yeah, the kids getting...
Okay.
Yeah, what about the kids?
I'm glad that you brought that up. Mike, I think you're right. This overwhelmingly is more likely to work on the weekends, and I'm just intrigued about like an NBA Finals game on Father's Day in the middle of the day. Like I feel like that could work.
I don't mind bumping up an hour in the weekday though.
Okay,
6 o'clock.
The Mother's Day Massacre was a day game.
That is true.
6 o'clock in the afternoon works.
That was where the Mavericks hit a lot of threes. I don't want anybody to get confused who wasn't old enough and go, "What happened?"
All the moms.
That is a good point. But Corey, you mentioned something about the kids, and I'm with you. You would need further information for specific teams about some of your season ticket holders and everything like that. But you mentioned the kids. And one of the things that you said in the past, Corey, and I'm sure you're far, far from alone, is sometimes you will leave a game early, either to avoid traffic or maybe it's the time of day or whatever. I sometimes wonder if it's, now we're talking weekdays. I think we're on the same page on weekends. We're talking weekdays. If you can move it up an hour or two, would that affect the ability for people to maybe stay the entirety of the game, or would it torpedo it because you're like, that's going to be too tough to get the turnaround from pick up from school or whatever to get to the ballpark or arena, etc.?
Like how early is the game again? 3 o'clock?
No, let's say you just move up an hour or two.
Oh, 6 o'clock?
Yeah, I think so. You're talking five or six o'clock.
That sounds, I think what you're,
I enjoy like last night. I don't know.
It's great.
Ranger fans, I love great. The 6 o'clock start. Now that's East Coast. I get it. It wasn't here. Today's a 5 o'clock start, which maybe makes it more difficult for people to, and maybe, I don't know how many people are getting that interested in Rangers baseball at this point, but I do enjoy the 6 o'clock start because the game ended last night approximately at 8:35.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That gives you plenty of time to, whether you need to spend more time with your wife, your kids, getting the kids down. You know, if you have younger kids and you want them in bed by 8 or 9 o'clock and you're like, hey, this works out more. If your kid really loves the sport, you don't feel like it's 9:30 and you're like, how are they going to react the day after? And sometimes the day after that with a little bit of lack of sleep. My wife said the number one key that she gives to parents for having a good school year and making sure you avoid as much sickness as possible is sleep.
Yep.
That your kids should be getting 10 to 12 hours of sleep, and your teenagers should be getting 8 to 10 hours of sleep. That will keep them healthier and their brain ready for their day of school.
Now, there are some more radical opinions that I don't have answers for just quite yet, as in from the 260. Do we really need four time zones? Let's split the difference. I'll have to get back to you on that.
That's the sun. Right in the middle. That's really, we're going to have a discussion with the sun.
We're like right in the middle.
Yeah.
We don't even know what we are.
Yeah.
And so I think this affects Central and East Coast time zone folks the most, because you will notice if you're on the West Coast, sometimes it's weird that the West Coast sports are over at like 9:30 or 10, and you're like, dude, there is no late night.
Talking sport. To Sandler though about it, like on Sunday, he's like, this, it's awesome because you get up early. Everybody kind of wakes up around, you know, I don't know, actually, you're that age around 8:30, 9, 10 o'clock, and football is starting.
Yeah.
You wake up here, yeah, you got to wait. True. 4 hours, you got to watch the stupid pregame show because theirs isn't as good as what Broadus and Woolchuck are doing, by the way. And then you get, and then finally maybe a kickoff happens at noon. And then you're like, okay, finally we're rolling here. But then you go all night long until that game's over, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. But on the West Coast, it starts at 10. And then you're done at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, now I can go out and hang out with my friends for a little bit before I have to go do anything tomorrow on Monday. I think the West Coast has it down. But for the weekday stuff, if you were to bump it a little bit earlier, like they don't care, though, Kevin.
That is,
they don't care.
That, and that might be
so
true.
Many things to do.
They love paying tax.
Yeah.
I think we've seen, and it's not only with the Olympics, it is with the NCAA tournament. It's with a few other things. If you have the product people want to watch, especially on the weekend, it doesn't always have to start at 7 or 8 p.m. There's something to be done here.
I'm with you. Do you want to carry over the segment? Why do Californians love paying taxes so much?
I do not.
No? Okay. All right. What's next then?
You're going to like the next segment. Ooh. Even better, perhaps. Steph, Dirk, Jokic, Kidd, Kyrie, Luka, and all the intriguing battles in the Hoops Hype Greatest Players Ever list. Next, right here in The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Harris, it opens up on the drive. Luka swings it to Dirk. The heave on the three. The assist for Luka on a Dirk three-pointer. It's a special thing.
Can't Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. There is a brand new list from Hoops Hype, but the greatest NBA players of all time. Now, we can go through that, but I wanted to isolate a few players in particular and give you kind of battles. You know, be like, is this person really better than that player? But just so you know, the top 10, and they decided, let's just get to it right out of the jump. They put LeBron James as the number one player of all time.
I'm not going to argue too much on this. I get that this becomes a huge argument in the world of basketball.
And I promise that won't be what this segment
is. Just real quick, LeBron has had the greatest career in NBA history. He's still a premium player at 40 years old. Michael was a better player in his prime than LeBron, but LeBron has far exceeded the longevity. And then that becomes a debate, Kevin, that we have based off of Hall of Fame stuff.
Because
you'd be like, man, nobody was better than Terrell Davis. But a lot of people were like, should Terrell Davis be in the Hall of Fame?
Shorter time.
It's a very short career. So then you go to Emmitt, and you'd be like, well, and Emmitt did have a great prime, too. Nothing against it.
But he also had the longevity.
Right? Emmitt Smith is the LeBron James of running backs.
So then they go Jordan 2, Kareem 3, Magic 4, then Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird, Kobe, Shaq, Duncan. That's your top 10.
Yeah, I think that's a really good top 10.
And number 11 is Hakeem, and I would certainly, as you can guess, you're right there. I would listen to those arguments, but here's what I wanted to do. I want to start with Steph Curry. Hoops Hype lists Steph Curry as the 13th best player of all time. He's one spot behind Kevin Durant. Behind Kevin Durant. Who do you think should be higher on this list, Steph Curry or Kevin Durant? And this is kind of how I want to play this list out. We'll get to some of the Mavericks.
This is really tough. Corey, I'll just say this. I think Steph Curry will be much more known and more famous in the history of basketball than Kevin Durant.
I guess because of the way Steph plays, I didn't know he was 30th in scoring, but Durant's 8th. That's significant for Kevin Durant. I know he's a great scorer, but look at also like his blocks, his assists, those are very interesting numbers in where he ranks here. I think by the end of it, that Steph could bump up ahead of him one spot.
Okay, and see, this is where I'm intrigued.
Especially after what the show that he put on in the Olympics. I don't know how much that affects it, but this is like an all-around thing for me.
No, I agree with that.
It does say Olympics, so there you go, yeah.
I think Steph is ahead of KD now, because KD won two titles by coming and joining the Warriors. Steph won two other titles without him. And so I think that I think Steph Curry's ahead just because, and maybe this isn't fair, I think I have kind of penalized Kevin Durant for jumping from super team to super team and failing to win anything else like he did in Golden State.
Let me ask you this though, both of you. If you were, and just take their careers, if you were to build a team, which one are you picking first? I'm taking Kevin Durant. The length, the scoring, the ability to play defense.
I'm probably leaning your way on that, even though you're not going to be upset at all if you get the other guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm building a super team too, so like I'm just looking at it.
Then I'm picking Steph because KD's super teams don't usually work out. I'm just kidding.
That is kind of truth.
Got a point.
But they're one spot apart. So that's what I wanted to go to.
To your point, I think after the first four, however you want to rate LeBron, Michael, Kareem and Wilt. After those four guys, I think it gets very difficult.
Now, Dirk is number 19.
This is dumb.
Okay,
sorry.
I
love it.
Well, no, you're I just gonna hate one particular aspect.
He's two spots behind Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, he is four spots ahead of Dwayne Wade.
Good.
But the other person I wanted to focus on, we could talk about KG, but also he's three spots ahead of Giannis. So how do we feel about Dirk being behind KG? Because I don't agree with that. And do you think Dirk will remain ahead of Giannis?
Yes, because I think I think Milwaukee is going to continue to screw things up there. I don't think they know what they're doing while they're trying to do this the whole thing.
How old's Giannis?
Is he 28 now? 27?
I thought he was a little bit older.
You're asking a very good question, and I think it'll be very stinking close.
Yeah.
It just matters, and then it goes to who do you like? Do you like prime better, or do you like longevity better? Because if we go to longevity, most likely Dirk will win that case. But if you know, but this list says longevity's better than prime. Whenever you rank LeBron higher than Jordan, you're saying I like longevity better than prime to me, and which is fine. I'm not disagreeing with that. So I would look at Dirk and go, it's going to be really tough to beat his 21 seasons.
Is, yeah. And also, like, the three-point shooting for Dirk is one thing where I'm like, oh, man, I'll take that all day. But then the ability to go from the three-point line in two steps and get to the basket the way Giannis does, he's a steam train you can't stop.
Let me ask you this, then, since you brought that up. That's a really astute point. How much credit goes into I was more revolutionary at what I did? Like, I know Larry Bird will argue, like, hey, I was here. But, like, Dirk was there as the really, really tall person who could shoot to kind of pave the way for a lot of other players.
I'm with you because on this list so far, people of our lifetime, Dirk Nowitzki, if you weren't alive during this, like we got our guy Max over here, last day interning with us, is he wasn't alive for Dirk's first 5 years of his career. Right. Dirk took so much heat, and so did the Mavericks, because they were doing the stupidest thing you've ever seen in the history of basketball, and that was teaching a seven-footer to be a perimeter player. It was the dumbest thing in the history of basketball, everybody was telling us. And then by about 2003, he's a rookie in 98, 99, by 2003, people are like, maybe there's something to this, and other teams are like, we need to get Dirk Nowitzki's on our team. And it was, you don't do this, this is stupid, you put him in the post, you teach him how to play the post, this is stupid, 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 and then he changed all of that. He's literally the person. And then I'd go to Steph Curry and Splash Brothers change that you can shoot threes and win championships.
From anywhere.
Now, we're not going to focus a lot on this player right here, but if you ever forget, the most passionate fan base, and maybe the most divisive fan base, still exists around Kobe Bryant. From the 214, Kobe isn't, this is a text, not me. Kobe isn't a top 10 player all time. This is the first list I can remember with Kobe in the top 10. Duncan, Shaq, Steph, and about three others are better. And then 1 minute later from the 763, if Kobe isn't top three, then I can't even talk basketball with you. So just to show you, in case you were ever wondering who has the most passionate fan base out there, it remains Kobe Bryant.
By far. It's not even close.
I think you're right about that. Nikola Jokic is number 29. And I know
Wow, I think that's too low.
Okay. And these players around him are obviously wildly different, but I wanted to get your thoughts. He's one spot behind Chris Paul, which I think is absurd, and two spots ahead of Allen Iverson. So in that trio of very different, well, Jokic is very different than the rest. Where do you think Jokic stacks up with Chris Paul and Allen Iverson?
Can I take him up a little higher on the list?
Sure.
Because I'd like to kind of discuss him versus David Robinson at 24.
Okay.
And I know
that position, because they play the same position.
That does make a lot more sense. Yeah, that does make a lot more sense.
I mean, like, we know what we know about David Robinson, and I know he has the two titles and everything, but I would kind of have him comparatively almost as good or better than David Robinson.
I mean, he only has two, huh?
Yeah.
I thought he had three. But
no, yeah, he has two, and then retired. Jokic 3-1 on MVPs over Robinson.
Yes. And I don't think he belongs behind Chris Paul. I think that's an homage to what Chris Paul's entire career is, minus his championship. Yeah. So
projecting, and I know you just David Robertson, Robinson. See, now our freaking
You think about
guy.
Baseball.
I know. is I would say Jokic at the end of his career will be top 15. I don't know where in the top 15, but I think he'll be top 15. Giannis, I don't think will make it to top 15, maybe top 20.
Yeah.
So where he's at right now, I'm shocked that it's that low, but he still has another, I would think, 5 years of prime left in him.
You know, it's interesting. The gatekeepers to the top 15 on this hoops hype list are Karl Malone and Moses Malone. And so I'm like, man, those are some damn good players.
Yeah, it's tough to move them off.
Yeah, but I mean, if he wins another title, he doesn't need to win another title. If he did, Jokic, win another title, I really think that helps his case moving on up the list.
You can't, I mean, when you name the top 10 players, and even if you get a few past it, Hakeem won two during the Jordan
multiple
era.
Multiple titles.
You have to have two titles or more to be considered a top 10 player.
Now, let's go to number 40. Number 40 on the list is Jake. No, okay.
Oscar Robertson only has one title.
Okay.
But because of all of his other...
First ever triple-double.
One of the best all-around players. That's why he belongs where he belongs at 14. Is that what we're...
But still not in the top 10, I think, to Mike's point.
All right.
Jason Kidd is number 40.
Seems right.
He's two spots behind James Harden.
Would you put him above Chris Paul?
I think I would. He made it to three NBA finals. Chris Paul's made it to one.
And he drugged those teams to the NBA finals.
Yeah, like he was lucky. I mean, I will say this. He did it. The East at that time was pathetic, but he did it. He took the Nets to two NBA finals. And then in 2011, he won the championship with the Mavericks as a key contributor late in his career.
Oh, man. I don't think so. I think I would have Chris Paul just above him. But
him above Nash?
Yes.
Okay.
I think people, and this is where it's tough, because I'm about to make an argument that you just kind of like already have the counter argument ready. I think because Chris Paul didn't win a lot in the playoffs, people forget how good he really was, both offensively and defensively. But then there's the counter argument of, well, Jason Kidd was really good too, and he got his team
nine
in the finals.
All defensive selections.
This is so tough because when you start doing, if we just did ranking the point guards in NBA history, it gets really tough. Can I ask you on, since we're doing point guards real quick, is where is John Stockton? Because
he's above him.
He gets underrated in a lot of these categories. Stockton, because he wasn't fancy.
33.
Okay, and that's not bad. I think whoever does this list or the people who do this list, it gets really tough to separate these guys. Because, look, I'm not a fan of Harden. I put him into the Carmelo Anthony, Adrian Dantley category of like, yeah, they're in the Hall of Fame. But all they cared about was themselves.
And then once you decide, okay, I'm basing this on, let's say I've decided to base it on points and rebounds and this. And then you're like, oh, yeah, but what about titles? Oh, yeah, what about... And then it changes everything as you're going along. So it's tough to decide exactly how to line it up because they got Harden at 38.
38. Yeah. Pippen is 27. By the way, if you have questions about more specific players, feel free to hit us up on YouTube, Twitch, text it in. I'll try to get back to you in the break because I'm just spotlighting like a handful of players.
Did Luka make it?
Luka did not make it.
Okay, so I'm fine with that, but...
I wanted to throw it out for you. Luka is fifth off the list, so 83rd. And just if you're curious, Klay Thompson is 10th off the list. So Hoops Hype would have him as the 88th best player of all time. And so I have no doubt that like they'll move up into the world. One of the issues I might have, and this might be a discussion for another day, Joel Embiid is on the list. I do not think that Joel Embiid should be ahead of Luka.
I'm with you.
Okay, one more for you. Kyrie is at 71.
Mm.
He's two spots behind Tony Parker, but one spot ahead of Vince Carter. So Vince Carter, Tony Parker, and Kyrie. How do you rank the trio?
Vince Carter, Tony Parker, Kyrie.
I'm sorry, Vince Carter's also one ahead. So it goes like this.
I would probably have Tony Parker ahead of Vince Carter and then Kyrie. That would be my three.
Okay.
If I'm ranking those.
So Tony Parker's 69, Vince is 70, Kyrie is 71. So they're all together.
Okay. I would be Vince because of longevity.
Okay.
I guess I'll lean towards Tony Parker, but it's really those are three names that I do not have definitive answers on. Like I know one of these guys I would say is better than the other two.
Okay, so you feel good about like them all being lumped together.
Yeah,
and
even though I will tell you I think Luka's better than all three of those guys.
Okay.
He has five first-team.
Yeah, he does.
Like how many guys on this list when we get to 50 through 75 have our and Luka probably will make it 3 to 5 more times in his career?
Yeah.
Like, if he doesn't make it 3 more times, something bad happened in his career.
And see, from the 4-6-9, I think this word gets thrown around way too easily. Joel Embiid has won an MVP. Don't be homers. If that's the only metric you're basing it on, you're right. Also, I would argue Joel Embiid has never been past the second round of the playoffs.
Steve Nash won back-to-back MVPs. Yeah. Move him up.
Luka... He went to the Western Conference Finals twice and has now been to the NBA Finals. So he has had far more playoff success than Joel Embiid. So if you disagree, that's fine.
Joel Embiid has an Olympic gold.
Homer's is a lazy take. Yeah, he does. That he does. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacek.
Well, the Rangers played another game, and they get to play another one today.
Oh, yeah.
Next.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for some Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacek.
After 16 up and 16 down for the Texas Rangers.
How many freaking times are we going to be four, five, six innings into a game where they're like, no hitter, perfect game alert?
I don't know how many of those, but zero runs after five innings, that's 50-50.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about, you're going to usually have one or zero runs, it feels like, after five innings tonight, most likely. Like, if you had, I don't do any betting on this stuff, but I guess if you're like a gambleaholic or whatever, I guess, like, I don't know, whatever your odds are on betting that the Rangers have one or less runs after five innings seems to be a pretty good bet. Yeah. Most likely tonight, you're going to get to the fifth inning.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many runs Boston will score. I would say the Rangers are in big trouble tonight. Dane Dunning got up twice yesterday to pitch. Probably threw 50 violent pitches in the bullpen to get ready to go in. I get he didn't pitch in the game. And they don't have a starter today, and Bochy was leaning towards yesterday. We don't know, I don't think, officially yet right now at 10:45. We're talking to Bochy at 12:20. But he can go a max of probably three innings.
Yeah.
I don't know what Dane's going to do in those three innings. And then you have to pick up, you hope, six more innings. If not, it'll be five more innings and you lose.
Do you think then the manager, and we can ask him this, the manager gets frustrated because they're like, I really wish we wouldn't have put it in a position where Dane had to get up and like warm up so we could have kept him kind of clear for today?
Yeah, but they went for it in game one against Boston. And so when you pitch kind of your main guys multiple innings, you're selling out for that game and you still lost.
Yeah.
So now the next game, you're hoping that, well, man, Cutter Crawford's given up 27 home runs. That's the most in Major League by far.
Yeah. And
then you don't hit any homers. Now, after 16 up and 16 down, the Rangers got going. And they scored four runs in the sixth inning. Those were their four runs of the game. Two of the RBIs came off of bases loaded walks.
Hell yeah, they did.
I'll be honest and make this about me real quick.
Yeah.
Oh.
I had not watched any of the game, and I turned it on during Wyatt Langford's at bat.
The strikeout?
Yeah.
I was looked at Twitter, and I went, oh, I need to turn this game on. And as soon as I turned it on, it stopped the run. So
well,
I'm
Wyatt
sorry,
Langford
guys.
Made two of the three outs in the fourth inning as he led off with a grounder to short. And then he ended the inning with a called strike three that was ball
three.
That
was bad, dude.
It wasn't close. I tell you what, I didn't know they were letting teenagers umpire in the major leagues.
Dude looks so young. And he's already thrown Bochy out once this season.
Oh, and now he did it twice?
Yeah, he threw Bochy out and Andrew Heaney in Minnesota whenever they argued the third base call, something about third base. And so he's already thrown Bochy out once this year. I love Bochy's line, though, as he's walking out, and he's like, what the F are you doing?
It takes him forever to get there. By the time he gets there, you're like, it feels like the moment's over, but he's like, I cannot get there fast.
I'm already here, guys.
It's going to take a while. So you know if he's coming out, you know he's getting thrown out. He's like, I am not walking.
It's going to be worth my while,
walk back to the dugout and what not be thrown out. And he was trying to protect Wyatt Langford. Now, that was a tough call. It didn't matter. They lost 9-4. Like, I get, like, we can play out. But if they would have done this and done that, they didn't have David Robertson or Kirby Yates to help them close the game. So it was a loss. They were going to lose. Once they got down 6-0, it was going to be, like their playoff chances, a 1% chance of winning that game. It just, you didn't have the horses in the pen to try to keep it at six, and you don't have the offense to score 8 or 9 runs. You just don't.
Yeah.
All right, so now I'm going to go to Wyatt Langford, as Wyatt Langford season is tumbling and tumbling and tumbling again. After the month of June, I'm going to give you his numbers in the month of June where he was rookie of the month and trending upward. In his 97 at-bats, he hit .309 with an .894 OPS. He had 22 RBIs. He had 30 runs scored. He had 30 hits. He had 6 doubles. He had 3 triples. He had 3 home runs. That is a total of 12 extra base hits out of his 30. Then we go to the month of July. Not good, but not horrible. In his 97 at-bats, same number at-bats, he had 7 doubles and 2 home runs. That's 9, 3 less, not the end of the world. He had 9 RBIs. Now, that's not totally on you, but he hit 216 with a 631 Whoa. OPS. He had a 351 slug. His slug in June was 526. And now we are in the month of August. We are August 14th today. 30 at-bats. He has 4 hits. He has 1 double. He is batting 133. Jeez. He has a slug of 167. And he has an OPS of 444. So, I'm not saying you bench him. In fact, you play him every day. He is healthy enough to play. You have to watch like a day game or something. But yesterday, to start the game off, first inning, if you're not watching, I understand why you're not watching anymore. I totally get it. I'm not blaming you for not watching Rangers baseball right now. Rafael Devers hits a ball off the green monster. Yoshida is on first base.
Yes.
And Yoshida hasn't even touched third. And Wyatt Lankford throws the ball to second base. So then Yoshida just keeps running home.
Yeah.
And then Semien, who gets the ball at second base, has to relay the throw from second base to home, where Yoshida was going to be safe because obviously the fastest, this is how we try to teach relays in baseball. If you don't understand, we use the just, hey, what's the shortest distance between two spots or two? It's a straight line. Anytime you make a curvy line or a zigzag line, or we've now lengthened the distance of the relay, which now gives the team running a better chance to score because we have made the relay longer than it should be. We are trying to make it the shortest relay possible, not a longer relay.
Yeah.
And so when you throw the ball to second, it makes it a really long replay if you just think about the lines you're drawing. Now, that being said, Leody Taveras, as the season has gone along, he seems to be losing more and more focus. He's not throwing the ball to right bases. Yesterday in the fifth inning where the game got out of hand, there was a ball kind of hit up the middle. Semien tries to make a play on it. I'm going to assume this, but this isn't good because there's two assumptions to try to give Leody a little bit of leeway here, but it's not the best. Leody assumed that Marcus Semien was going to catch the ground ball. It was not a routine ground ball. It was up the middle where he had to make a kind of reaching, diving play for it. Well, Leody playing in the left center gap, the ball's hit obviously to the right side of the field. He's like, I bet Semien's going to catch that. I'm just going to stand here and watch the whole thing play out. And then when Semien doesn't catch the ball, we turned a ground ball pretty much up the middle into a double because yeah. Leody's not moving. And then Leody has made a lot of mistakes. And so Dave Valley pointed this out on the broadcast. The Wyatt Lankford mistake, yes, it was a mistake. Throwing the ball to second is a mistake. But you know whose responsibility it is as a person is looking at a big green monster? As he has no clue where the runners are. It's your center fielder's job to be yelling at your left fielder with his back to the wall.
Yeah.
You have to yell to him, home, 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 or two, two, two. Leody was just watching the play. So, yes, it was a mistake by Lankford, and hopefully you don't need the help of the center fielder. This is why Wyatt needs to play. I don't care that he's hitting 133 this month. I care.
Don't want him DH?
He has to play left field every day. He has not played outfield but 2 years of his life. This is the third year of his life to play outfield.
Yeah, when he ran up to the wall, was it the eighth inning?
And the ball got over him.
I was like, he just doesn't know how to play that wall.
So this is a learning experiment for Wyatt Lankford. He needs to be your everyday left fielder for the next, hopefully, 15 years. But right now, he's learning on the job. The problem that he also learning on the job is he seems to have a center fielder who doesn't want to help him too much.
That makes
and
sense.
Not intentionally. Yeah. It's just that Leody might not know how to help outfielders, which that shouldn't be the case. At this point in Leody's career, when you give him a rookie outfielder on a corner, he should, with 4 years of major league experience in center field, he should be helping the heck out of Wyatt Lankford. And no, I got to really help him on these things. And he's never played at Fenway Park. This is a different place to play.
Yeah.
And so I look at it and I go, all right, I lean towards this will probably be the last year of Leody Taveras in center field for the Texas Rangers. I think Evan Carter, as long as his back is okay, is going to be the everyday center fielder next year. And I think Wyatt Langford's going to be your everyday left fielder. And I don't know who's going to be in right field, to be honest, next year for the Texas Rangers. But I think that watching Leody here, I think his time is coming to a close as a Texas Ranger. Yeah. And I think that because he's arbitration eligible, I think they're going to say, look, offensively, you have 30-something RBIs this year, and you're playing every day. And I know that that's not always up to the hitter. He has to have runners on base to get RBIs. But I think you're now looking at Leody, his on-base percentage, his defense, and what he's now providing out there for you. And I think the Rangers are probably looking at it going, Wyatt's learning, and maybe he won't be a great outfielder. Maybe he will be. Time will tell. But I think time is running out on Leody Taveras.
The KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, plus the possibility of Dr. Dre in the Olympics. Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.